to the Baseballer Show. I am joined, as always, with Ian and Bobby. Guys, how are you doing? Postseason? How are we feeling?
I'm doing great, coming off of being sick a little bit, so sorry if I'm sounding a little raspy. Yeah, my wife says that she likes my raspy voice, so hopefully you guys do as well.
Love that. I'm doing phenomenal. As I just told you guys a bit earlier, I went outside for the first time in 6 days to yesterday, so I was sick. Oxygen is cool.
Yeah, sometimes it's like better than coffee, like getting outside, getting some sun. It's great. Wakes you up.
Okay, I've recently discovered coffee. Wow.
For the first time, you've never drank coffee?
I don't know why. My mom drank coffee every morning and I would like make it for her in the morning. I'd take it to her. And for some reason, it just never, like I never wanted it. And then I learned about iced coffee and I got an iced coffee yesterday. And talking about wired, like, oh my God, you guys do go through that every day. Like, yeah. That's an amazing feeling.
Like, dude, Ian,
sold on coffee.
Dude, Ian, your energy level without coffee is insane. So I can only imagine how much more fun you are to be around now.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. You're like, wait, you guys go through this every day? It's like, yes, this is how I function throughout the day.
That is so fire. Is it healthy?
Iced coffee is good.
Yeah. How do you take
ice and black?
Like, what do you put in the coffee?
Okay, so this is what happened. I pulled up to the drive-thru, okay, at Starbucks. And she said, what do you want? And I said, I have no clue. Help me, please. I'm a newbie. I don't know what's going on. So she starts saying chai, latte, mocha, venti, throwing all these terms at me. And I said, listen, I just want to get wired and give me the biggest one. And I like a little caramel flavor. And then they got me something. So
you have no idea what you drank. You're like,
no, it was a little too sweet.
Okay.
But hey, it was phenomenal.
I'm so happy that you had such a great experience.
Thank you. Haven't slept in 24 hours. Doing great. Not gonna sleep for a month now because you're getting that every day.
Oh gosh. I love that. I love that for you. All right, we have a lot to discuss. We can get back to coffee in a little bit. But biggest thing, obviously, I think this has been the most fun wild card round I've seen in the past couple of years. A lot of really exciting games. Orioles get swept by the Royals. Did the Orioles choke, or are the Royals the real deal? What are you guys seeing from the Royals team? Obviously, they go play the Yankees starting for the DS on Saturday. I think the Orioles slumped to like pretty poorly towards the end of the season, and the Royals just got hot like in the postseason, in my opinion.
Oh man, I got a lot to say about this one, but it has nothing to do with the Orioles team at all. I think they're a great ball club, but slightly off topic, I think the social media manager for the Orioles dropped the ball big time. they said the show's about to begin, and then the Royals snap back with if you come for the crown, you better not miss. That was a hilarious little like snap back and forth. Did you guys see that one?
Oh, it was phenomenal.
I missed it.
The final picture of Bobby Witt Jr. sitting on the crown with the Oriole just like splattered was hilarious.
It's so good. The social media teams have not disappointed at all. Also, the Padres like tweeting the entire time, like going back at Braves fans. It was actually like kind of cool. I
really,
yeah.
I got to dive into this world. What am I missing?
You have to get on Twitter.
I like when the big accounts bicker back, you know, because they never really say anything, but like, I like that. That's cool.
Oh no. I'm a little bit scared.
Yeah. Now, I think I'm with you, Kate. I think the Orioles dropped the ball a little bit. They went into a little bit of a slump. Do you think that's because like they're super young? Like they just got a bunch of call-ups, right? How many guys on their team have like less than 3 years of service time, starters?
Yeah, only like three, I think. Okay. Cedric, who else is on that team? Santander. Yeah, the rest of them are like super young.
Yeah.
I also think Adley was playing hurt towards the end of the season, and that's why his numbers dropped significantly. Obviously, Gunnar was, I think, 0-7 in the postseason. Like, it's tough. Your best guys going like 0-7, 1-7, like it can't happen. They scored one run in 14 innings. That's insane. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, especially with their firepower. Yeah.
And I guess that's all the Royals needed. But that was some like sense of relief for me that the Royals didn't score that many runs. Obviously, like Burns pitched game one, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm concerned about the Royals pitching. I think the Royals pitching is very dangerous. Suspect.
Yeah, there's something to be said about going into a series hot, though. So I think they'll at least give the Yankees a good fight.
Yeah. Wait, random. I have another question. Sorry. I mean, it's like kind of on topic. Do you think Major League, like the teams that get a bye to the DS, like they shouldn't have to wait 5 days? Like, do we restructure this format? Because I feel like if you're consistently playing, you're just going on pure adrenaline. I'm sure you guys, like, since you've played, you're exhausted towards the end of a season. And then these teams, like, you finish your final season on Sunday and you don't play for a week. You're just like chilling, practicing. Do you think that actually hurts the team?
I could see where it's like a case of the Mondays where you're coming in and you're just like having to like kind of ride the previous wave and everything. But I don't see any other way to structure it, though. I feel like you need time to let that wild card series play out. And it's kind of one of those things where, hey, you got to the top. Now you just got to wait for everyone to catch up.
Yeah, I don't know how they could go about it like a more efficient way without having them wait. But it definitely is like a disruption in the cadence, because they basically did one thing the entire season, had a certain cadence, and they were really, really successful with it. And then all of a sudden it changes. Like, of course, that's going to affect some things. But I don't see like a better way to get it done.
Yeah. Like, I just find it so fascinating that that's the longest break they get all season. Like, it's longer than the All-Star break. The All-Star break, they get like 3 days. And now this, they get 5-6 days off.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like you're right, though. There's really no way to like fix it.
Yeah. From a pitcher's perspective, I'm like, you hitters need to stop being soft. I literally have to wait 5 days for my starting rotation anyways. So get over it.
As a hitter,
figure it out,
I
guys.
Hate. Yeah. As a hitter, I hate like not hitting consistently, like not seeing live pitching consistently. Like, it bothers me and I feel like it would throw me off if it's not consistent. Like, when baseball is a lot different when somebody's trying to strike you out versus trying to let you hit the baseball. Completely different. And you need to see people that are trying to strike you out a lot more consistently to like to keep that up, in my opinion. But
completely random thought, but I wonder if they inter squad during that week.
Boone said they did. They did like a sim game. That's inter squad, right? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Yeah, that would be the best way to do it. We're the college I'm coaching at right now, we're currently doing twice a week inter squads, and those things are pretty intense. So I think that would be the best way to keep your competitive edge. But it is like splitting up the team chemistry, and like you guys are having a battle against each other. But I'm sure they keep them pretty loose, especially when you got someone like Lindor on your team where you're just getting fired up every day just being around the dude. So
moving on to the NL. Padres catcher Kyle Higashioka. First of all, 2 home runs in the postseason. Former Yankee. Freaking love him. Super happy for Higgy. He came to his locker and had a signed guitar from Blink 182. And apparently he's like an avid guitar player, because after he got it, he was like, oh my gosh, this is so sick. This like kid on Christmas morning. And then he started like jamming out and playing it. It was so cool.
It just shows you how like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people just like make baseball players like above life, and they're like they're not real humans. But it just shows you like even we have our heroes, and we're all like we all have that guy that we look up to. So you may be at the top, but there's always someone that you're trying to be more like, and you always have like, we're all just humans too. Like, I know a lot of MLB guys like play Fortnite and stuff, and a lot of their like fans are just like all about that as well. That doesn't surprise me at all that this dude's just like jamming out to a guitar.
Yeah. So he definitely, this had to be like pre-planned, right? Because did the dude just like come with a guitar and be like, oh, bomb. Hey, somebody put this guitar in his locker. Like, how do they do that?
I think they probably delivered it like right during the game. But it was just cool because he was like the story of the game. He had like a big home run.
Yeah.
So obviously like the cameras were on him the whole time. But yeah, I guess it was pre-planned. Okay. That's a really
Ian's like, oh, this is like a total Savannah Bananas thing going on right now. It's like scripted in.
He doesn't calculate.
He's like, oh, this is so cool. I had no idea this was going to be here.
Oh my God.
I love that. I love how active the social media teams have been. The one thing though that pisses me off is like the Orioles obviously dropped game one, then game two. They showed Colton Cowser. He went to go see like the Great Gatsby or something. And like he surprised like one of the actresses that came to the game. All the comments are like, can he actually focus on hitting the baseball? I'm like, wait, you want to see the human side of the players? And then when they do it, you're like, they should really be practicing. It's like anytime you see them at like an outside sporting event, like all the Yankees were at the US Open when they were really down bad towards like late in the season. They were like, they should really be in the batting cage.
You can't win. You can't win. It's just, yeah. It's the how it is.
It's the keyboard warriors. Everyone has a massive ego when they're staring at a 6-inch screen.
Yeah.
There's it's always insane. Something that you're not doing.
It's like, if you mess up at work, I'm going to say to you, well, you should really go back to the office and you shouldn't go home after and enjoy yourself. Like, why don't you sit there at your 9-to-5 for 6 more hours? God, I'm sorry, I'm so fired up.
I feel the venom right there.
I'm sick. It makes me so mad because I'm like, what do you want them to do? Like, literally, whatever. That's fine. Let's move on. We have some viral videos for this week. Tarek Skubal. Bobby, I can't wait to hear your thoughts on him. Dominated the Astros in his first career playoff start. He said in the post game that he was more nervous for this game than he was in his debut, which kind of makes sense. Obviously, it's his first postseason game. Bobby, from your perspective, what do you think has made Skubal the most effective all year?
Oh, man. It's crazy to me that Skubal and Snell are like so similar and everything, and they actually throw like the same changeup, and they're working with this new like seam shifted wake kind of phenomenon. And for those of you guys who don't know, it's just like cutting the ball but still getting arm side run. I'm still trying to mess around with it, and it's like impossible to throw, but the random time that I do get it, it's freaking nasty. So I think just the fact that he's throwing that pitch, it's a completely new look to the game, and it's disgusting. So I think having that pitch paired with the other four pitches in, or the other three pitches in his arsenal, I think that's a huge contributing factor. But just the overall aspect of him just being a dog is one of the key outliers to him. I think he just comes up and shows up to the game, and just everyone knows that he's going to perform well because it's just in his aura. Yeah. Ian, what would you, would that be an uncomfortable at bat for you from the left side?
Man, absolutely. Absolutely. I hate anything that moves. I hate anything that's not straight. If it's not a fastball coming at 88-90 miles an hour, then I have a problem with it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
So I would hate facing that guy.
Dude, I saw one of his overlays between his fastball and his changeup, and there's like at least 2-foot difference between the break on his fastball and his changeup, and he gets like 14 inches of a horizontal run to it too. So that just looks completely impossible. Devastating. Yeah, that dude literally has the north, south, east, west, and the like X axis as well, or the Z axis, where he's just like completely devastating you on the miles per hour as well.
I would love to see a chart of the hitters who've like done like well off him, or at least like above average. Cause there's just some guys who just have your number no matter what. And I want to know like what their approach is on him, because he's got so much movement and so much, he's just got so much going on. Like, I don't know. I would love to figure out like how to actually attack that guy.
Ian, I had a random question for you, because I was watching his mechanics and just kind of watching how he delivers the ball. And he has what I refer to as like a deceptive front side. Mm-hmm. Have you kind of broken that down from a hitter's perspective ever? Like what deceptive front side actually means and what it looks like from your perspective?
When you say like deceptive front side, what's like deceptive about it?
Well, just like you'll see some guys, like it almost looks like they're throwing out of their armpit, or some guys like hide the ball really well with their glove. Like I was always told that I had a deceptive front side, and I didn't know what that meant from the scouts or the hitter's perspective. But after like watching footage and stuff, I just like really like hid the ball behind my front side.
Yeah. That's actually one of the hardest things to deal with, when the ball looks like it appears out of nowhere, because that fight or flight sense kicks in and you're like, you kind of freak out and you don't know, like you do more than what's necessary because the fight or flight sense kicks in. So it's really just about like, it's more of a mental battle, just like staying calm no matter what happens, because you know the ball's going to come to you no matter what. So like more than a mechanical thing for guys. It's more of like a mental mindset of just saying, hey, we need to like be just like the catcher, become a receiver of the baseball and let it come to us. Because if we're in like too attacky of a mindset, I would say, and the ball appears out of nowhere, we're going to go right after it. And the worst thing to do with a guy throwing 95 miles an hour is to speed up your reaction time by going out after it.
Is there anything in particular that like would make a hitter or a pitcher more deceptive in your perspective?
Yeah, hiding the ball. And I don't know why, but whenever I hate pitchers with like the unorthodox actions, like I like the stock righties, stock lefties. If you got like a funky delivery or like a high effort delivery and you might not necessarily be producing the same kind of velo, like that bothers my mind a lot. I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like that either from my guys. If they're going max effort and not getting the max out of their body, I'm like, what are you doing? Look more effortless. But that makes sense. Yeah. Now that's turning them all into stock. So maybe I should be not trying to make guys look like that, because that's going to mess you up.
Who, going a little bit back to the wild card games, I feel like we have to talk about AJ Hinch and how he, like, okay, you know what? I'm going to rephrase. Hold on. Do you guys think the Astros dynasty is now over? Or do you think they can come back in the next year, 2 years, and like kind of continue? This was just a blimp.
Well, I just think the game is so crazy. Like, I don't know. You look at any elite player who had an elite season. It's so hard to go back to back successful years. And it's not about like getting to the big leagues. It's about staying there. So I feel like even if this is a down year for them, like there's probably so many guys that they're developing that could replace anyone in that specific team. But just the game in general, like it's so easy to just make a comeback. So it's really tough to say. I don't have anything specific to say, but just speaking to the game itself, I think I don't think it's necessarily an end of a dynasty for them.
Yeah, I'd agree. I don't think it's the end of a dynasty because you've seen like some core players leave throughout the years and they still have kept up that competitive level, right? And have always been a factor. So that just shows you like the culture and like what they build. They're able to like reproduce superstars or at least fill in their gaps and things like that. So I think with what the organization has done, and especially like being on the other side, being like a player perspective, from a player perspective, like getting scouted by them and everything, like they're super in, like their scouting is much different than a lot of people. And I think that that's part of the reason like why they're so strong as an organization. So I don't think it's the end of a dynasty. I think it was just a whoopsie this year. And I think they'll be right back at it, honestly.
Yeah. Well, pretty much the man who sealed the deal for them to end it was Ibañez with a pinch hit bases clearing double. This was actually the craziest thing in the entire world to come in that situation when you're down by a run. This is, you know, one win away from making it the division series for the first time in over a decade. Ian, like how hard is it to like come up clutch in a pinch hit situation? I feel like pinch hitting is one of the hardest things to do.
Yeah. To pinch hit in a non-important situation is already hard enough. Like I think the batting average on that is well below 200. But to pinch hit in a super clutch position like that, it's like the odds are nearly impossible because you're being asked to do the hardest thing in all of sports. And you didn't have any preparation. Like you've just been sitting there all day. I think some of the guys are allowed to go in and taking swings, but once again, like nobody's trying to strike you out. You don't really know where you stand for the day. It's a crapshoot if you go up there and you're really ready or not. So in order to be able to have the mental fortitude to put together an at bat and produce results, like the dude basically just won the lottery.
Yeah. And even like Jake Bowers last night, like pinch hit home run, like that just blows my mind.
Yeah. That's so phenomenal, but that's what makes baseball so fun, because that stuff is not supposed to happen. And then when it does, it's like the greatest thing ever.
And I feel like managers like lean on that. I feel like they're constantly trying to put pinch hitters in situational moments. And it's just like, how do you even expect this guy to perform? And I feel like they do all the time. Like it literally pops up on the highlights all the time. And for that to happen, was it last night against Josh Hader? Like that was crazy good pitch, like 98, like it kind of ran a little bit over the plate, but it was still a phenomenal pitch. And he just oppo'd it off the wall or whatever. That was crazy.
Yeah. When hitters talk about like their worst nightmare, it is literally getting up for a pinch hit with somebody throwing gas after you haven't done anything all day. Like that is the worst nightmare. The only other factor that wasn't included in it was it being like super cold. Outside of that, it's as bad as it could get from a situational standpoint.
Especially with Josh Hader, that dude's literally so crossbody. That looks so uncomfortable.
Yeah. $19 million a year is wild. $19 million a year, more than the entire 26-man roster for the wild card combined is like, I love that though. But then at the same time, I feel bad for the players because I'm like, pay them. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like give and take.
What is the MLB average right now? It's like 7-something.
Yeah.
I think they're getting paid pretty good.
Yeah, that's okay. That's actually fair.
That's so valid. That, and then what?
I'm like, they're only making like league minimum. It's like, well, league minimum is still like.
Well, they're getting hit with taxes. They're getting just butchered with taxes. Disgusting. They're taking home like after agent fees, taxes, all these other things, they're taking home like 45% of what they make.
I have a dumb question.
On paper.
Mm-hmm. Did they? Like, how do you pay the professional baseball players? Like, is it a, like, they just like get like a check like normal people do every 2 weeks?
Or W-2s.
No, Bobby, I'm serious. Or is it like, do I just get like $100,000? Like, how often are they paid is my question. Sorry.
Some people have it negotiated in their contract where they get it in spurts, but I'm pretty sure, like, at least for me, when I was getting paid my $1,200 a month or whatever it was, I was literally getting like $600 checks every 2 weeks. So I'm assuming that scales up, but the taxes are crazy because you have to, like, it depends on what state you're playing in. So taxes are different per state. So when you're playing in certain states, you like get more in your check versus other states. And then not write-offs, but like your withholdings and stuff are different. It's crazy.
Yeah. I got paid bi-weekly as well.
That's interesting. Like, I wonder what Aaron Judge's like check looks like when he like gets paid. It's probably like hundreds of thousands of dollars. No,
it's probably not enough. If we're being honest, dude, is seriously, it's probably not enough. When you put in taxes in there and then what he is and what he means to New York, it's not enough.
I agree. Start the conversation. Aaron Judge is underpaid. I'm literally gonna get canceled.
Judge is underpaid.
Yes, yes, he deserves way more money. Anyway, kind of sad. I mean, yeah, sad news in the baseball community. I don't even know how to transition to this, but Pete Rose has passed away. So obviously, the debate starts now. Should we put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame? I'm gonna be so honest. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Yes. No, obviously is the all-time hit king. He was probably the most fun player to watch. Like, he played with that energy that you always want to like teach kids, like, you know, head first sliding for like a stand-up double, like just super energetic all the time. But it's like, you broke like the one big rule in baseball. Do you guys even see them potentially putting him in the Hall of Fame since he's passed away? Or I don't know if you guys saw Stephen A's take on this. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts?
Well, the fact that Stephen A called MLB just hypocritical and was just like ripping him, I think that kind of voices the opinion of like at least 60% of the baseball community. But I think it's a tough situation. I mean, the fact that the guy passed away and now he's going to most likely get in. Like, I feel like he's going to get in. Because that's just a track record that MLB has. Like, they wait till the guy's gone and then they change the rules and let him in. But it's a bummer. The dude was literally like one of my heroes. I wanted to play like that guy all the time. Like, I was never on the base path, but if I was, I wanted to be him. Like, that dude has what we refer to now as like the dog mentality. And I feel like that kind of to Steven's opinion, like, there needs to be some level of grace and some level of just like honoring the way that he played.
Yeah. So it's a lifetime ban, right? Isn't it over?
That's well, yikes. I didn't know that until I was like reading up on it. Like, And I guess that's how it is. So it's a lifetime ban, but now you can put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's like, I almost just dropped the F-bomb. But I think that Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. So that gives you my perspective on things. Yeah, absolutely. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. He should have been in the Hall of Fame before that. He bet on baseball, right? But he bet on himself to win, from what I know, at least. So, like,
yeah,
what's the problem?
Like, he was betting against the team.
Yeah. It's like, was that going to change his performance? Yeah, he might have played a little harder. He might have, I mean, probably not. It probably didn't change anything, honestly. I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I think that I hate the MLB's like old rules. I hate all the old dudes in the MLB, honestly. They don't make baseball fun. They hate when we have fun and throw our bats and people scream. So I'm getting off on a different tangent because I just hate the state of baseball today. But Pete Rose should be in.
Yeah.
Yep. Pete Rose, Shoeless Joe, a lot of those dudes. Even the steroid era. There's some guys in there, like you said, Bonds, but just I don't know, even some of the guys that like predated when steroids were illegal. It's like, man, they pioneered that and like they took advantage of a rule that wasn't set in place yet. And even those guys aren't getting in. Yeah. So yeah,
it's just like Babe Ruth. How come you don't kick him out of the MLB? He was like not a good person, and he attempted to take their version of steroids back in the day. It just wasn't as effective. They would drink bull urine or something like that to try and increase their testosterone. So they freaking tried it. Like they just didn't have the science behind it.
Yeah.
That's greenies, all these things. Huh?
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
I'm not skating past the bull urine, bro. That's so gross.
It's kind of crazy that like some of literally the goats of baseball are not in the Hall of Fame, which like, yeah. Also, why? Because you like tested Bonds for steroids. Like, what about all the people you didn't test? And I know Bonds was like, you can visibly tell like when he was taking it.
Never failed.
I don't know. It pissed me off. Put Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame. Put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. Just put an asterisk. Like,
yeah.
Steroid era. Like, it's funny that we like, all talk about the steroid era. Like, it's normal and fine, but like, you won't put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And it was the most exciting time in baseball. It was.
Yeah.
Was phenomenal. Have you guys heard about this thing called the Enhanced Olympics?
No. Oh, I love this idea.
So instead of having like the normal Olympics where they have to be like drug free and everything, they are just letting people juice up as much as possible and compete to see what the human threshold is. And I think it's phenomenal. I would love to watch something like that. Like, okay, what can people do? Let's see.
Like juice up Shohei and Judge and let's actually see who's better.
What would a juiced up Judge do?
What?
But then you get to the point of like it would be like diminishing returns, right? Because like how much more does he actually like, how much harder can he actually hit a baseball?
He would get like, so much more angry too.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be as nice of a guy.
He'd be more exciting. An angry judge is a much more fun judge.
I agree. Anyway, that's our show. Do you guys have any last things to add?
All right. Let me clear the air really quick. Just because I like the steroid era guys does not mean I'm telling you to go take Sauce Kids. Do not do that. Those guys are just fun to watch. Okay.
Bull urine though. That's okay.
So I guess it's on the table. I mean, Babe Ruth did it. He's in the Hall of Fame. I guess you can do it too.
It's fine.
Just mix it in with your protein shake. You'll be good. So gross, bro. I didn't even know that about Ruth.
I wrote a paper on Barry Bonds in college. It was like 12 pages on why he should be in the Hall of Fame. And I did some research and that's what I found out about Ruth though.
Well guys, everyone go Yankees. We start tomorrow. I'm actually going to be in the fetal position at Yankee Stadium, but fingers crossed. And yeah, see you guys next week. Yeah. Bye.
See you
later.